Hi, good Vach. This is Yisachar Wartell, and we are now up to Parshat Vayishlach, and unbelievably, next Thursday night is going to be Hanukkah. That is crazy. But, stay tuned for something interesting in that regard. But in this week's Parsha, there's a lot to discuss. One thing is an episode that is perhaps perplexing in its own right, but also actually parallels phrases and concepts later on in the Torah. And Parakamad Bet Pasachov Gimel, the Torah writes, Vayakam Balelo Hahu, Vayikach, Shtena Shab, et Shtena Shivchotav, Vyadachara Saryodav, Vyavor et Ma'avar Yabok. And he, meaning Yaakov, got up at night, and he took his two wives and his two maidservants, which are really his other two wives, and his 11 children, and he crossed the Yabok crossing. So there's actually a ton of commentary on this Pasach, including just on the term Ma'avar Yabok, which I'm going to be discussing. But there's far more than just what I'll be discussing with you. In fact, I even heard a whole thing on it this week that took it in a very different direction. So this is by no means the only explanation or set of explanations. Now, the language of Ma'avor Yabok, which is literally the crossing of Yabok, referring to the river crossing, is interesting. Partially because the word Avor is used twice. It says, Ya'avor et Ma'avor Yabok, and they cross the crossing of Yabok. Now, I mean, sometimes the Torah does just use that because that's the name of the place where there was the crossing and they crossed. So it's not so out of the ordinary, but let's see if we can give a little bit more explanation. But what makes him stand out more is the fact that the double language is actually used again in the following pasuk. So here, the actual language of crossing is used twice, but more unnecessarily. It says, and he took them and he traversed them across the river and he crossed of that which was his. Which, again, that whole last part, et asher lo, that which was his, meaning he crossed with everything that he had or something like that, even that is pretty vague. But the fact that it says Vayavor twice is very interesting. The latter part of the pasuk seems to be referring to the notion that Yaakov was returning. So Vayavor et asher lo, that which he had, meaning everything that he had, which included the small vessels that he went back to retrieve, which is certainly a topic in of its own right, and Mefarshim went a lot of different directions about that. But Rebbeinu Bechaye, based on the Ibar Benel, writes that the extra language of Avor, meaning crossing, alludes to the fact that Yaakov first crossed the Yabok River to test its depth, making sure it was, in fact, safe to cross by foot. Only then would he come back and lead his family across the river. He was willing to jeopardize his own life, but not the life of others. There's many other additional meanings and layers pertaining to the multiple uses of the Avor root, but it's beyond the scope right now, but certainly something you can think about. What else is interesting is the actual name Yabok, as well as the fact that it's called Hanachal, the river, which is not the only time that occurs. There's one other time it occurs, two other times actually. Hanachal, the river, occurs two other times in the Torah, one of which is by the territory of Reuben and Gad. Reuben and Gad were given a territory east of the Jordan River, and it went up until the border of the Yabok River. So Hanachal is same reference. But there's another instance, and that's in Parshat Chukat, where Bnei Israel conquers the territory from Sichon, which goes up until the territory border of Ammon, which, guess what, lays across the Yabok River. So it actually turns out that every instance of Hanachal, at least in this context, is used in reference to the Yabok River. The question is why? Because that actually was, in fact, part of the same territory for Reuben and Gad. So therefore, we see two instances of a crossing, or in one case, a lack of crossing of the Yabok River. By Yaakov, where he did, in fact, cross it, and by Bnei Yisrael, they were not. So Yaakov did cross it. Bnei Israel, they were not allowed to cross it and had to have to go around because they were not going to Eretz Israel yet. The territory of Ammon, which lies across the Yabok River, is one of the three territories promised to Abraham and is in modern-day Jordan and will eventually belong to Jewish people, but not until the times of the Mashiach. And the other two territories are in Moab and Edom. So basically, there are three territories that are kind of delineated by these crossings of the Yabok River, and it's kind of subdivided into these three things. There's also three potential future Ir Miklat, City of Refuge. Again, so much to talk about another time. But this river plays a major role. It plays a role in these major divisions in this part of the land. It stands out by Reuven and Gad when they're claiming or staking this land. And, certainly by Yaakov. And why? Right? So it's interesting. Rav Yitzchak Chai Zaga gives a fascinating lecture in Hebrew, actually, about this. And apparently it's actually talked very, very much in the Zohar. As I said, I actually heard something different about it this week. Also, I believe from Kabbalistic sources. But the Zohar explains that, among other things, Yabok Yud Bet Kuf stands for, get this, Yichud, Bracha, and Kedusha. Yud Bet Kuf. The Zohar also explains the gematria of Yabok Yud Bet Kuf is equal to Yud Ke Vav Ke Elkim. So Yud Ke Vav Ke Aleph Lamed He Yud Mem, which can then be subdivided. All right, this is pretty deep. Hashem Eheke Adush Shem. Right, so Yud Ke Vav Ke, and then Aleph He Yud He, and then Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which are three separate names. I'm sorry, separate, but three different names of Hashem. There's a lot to process here, and I'll see if I can get through it. And again, it's very Kabbalistic in nature. Rozaga explains the progression as follows. When one clings or connects to Hashem, one first experiences Yichud, a certain oneness or closeness. And this correlates to the divine four-letter name. When one is strongly connected to Hashem and does His will, that person opens the gates of abundance, which is known as Shefa, and then he therefore receives Bracha, he receives blessing, which correlates to the second name, which is Eheke, Aleph Hei Yud Hei. When one acknowledges Hashem as the true source of blessing, the only source of blessing, and the person wants nothing else but to receive this blessing from Hashem, he separates him or herself from any foreign and unholy matters, and thereby he can attain, or she can attain, Kedusha, which correlates to the name Ad Hashem, Ado and then Nai. What is the significance of this term, and both of the matters of Yaakov, as well as the divisions of the land of Ammon? So, again, so much beyond the scope of this, and it cannot really be expounded here due to length, but much of it is addressed, and if you understand Hebrew and you want to look it up on Torah Anytime, I believe it's Torah Anytime, but if not, it might be Torah Anytime as well, but it's on Yerushalayim.org.il, and you can do a search for it. If anybody wants, I can try and find the link. But it's very interesting, and it's actually pretty easy to understand Hebrew, even though the concepts are actually harder to understand than the Hebrew itself. All right, a little bit more, a couple key points. In order for Yaakov to battle with the ministering angel of Esau, who we're going to call Ishimo, he had to reach a certain level. This involved traversing or crossing all three metaphorical levels or symbolic levels of Yabok, which are Yichud, Bracha, and Kedusha. The river was also a boundary to Eretz Yisrael, which is another prerequisite of successfully combating the power of Esau, which was to enter and have as connected to him the power and Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Now, parallel to this, at the end of days, when we're about to enter the days of Mashiach, we will have to do battle with Edom as part of the battle with Gog and Magog, seemingly, and we will have to cross this boundary of Yabok, first by Yichud, dedicating our oneness to Hashem, then utilizing the bracha that we receive according to Hashem's will, and then He will in turn allow it to be meritorious in battle. We will hail ourselves as Jews and nothing else, as an Am Kadosh, a holy people, and we will then transform those lands into lands of the greater Kedusha, those ones that are in Jordan now, as part of Eretz Yisrael. But if this battle, so to speak, with Esau or Edom, which may also include a lot of the Western world, what is the role of Ammon and Moab? How do they fit into this? Ammon and Moab, interestingly enough, are actually the only two nations that are not allowed to ever convert to Judaism, or more specifically, to be allowed into the congregation of Israel, which involves men only. Females from Ammon and Moab are allowed to convert. But this is due to two reasons. One is that they did not supply us with water in the desert, but perhaps the more fundamental reason was via the seducing and deplorable tactics used by Moab in the episodes of Baal Peor and the relentless and unprovoked attack by Ammon that was done upon Bnei Israel also in the Midbar. Now, these two issues are actually both at hand by Esau. How so? When Yaakov was wary of Esau approaching, he did not if Esau was approaching as Esau, who was warlike and ready to kill him, similar to the way Ammon did, or if he was coming as his brother, lovingly, but with the possibility of assimilation and the corruption of Jewish purity, kind of similar to what Moab did. These are both potential threats that the Yaakov was facing, and so too there are threats that Bnei Israel faced in the Midbar. When we are zocha to acquire these territories in the times of Mashiach, or before the times of Mashiach, depending which, we will have to both win militarily, but also conquer our desires. We will then invoke the merits of Abraham, Yitzhak and Yaakov, to prevail against these merits of Ammon and Moab, who are both descendants of Lot, and whatever merits Esav or Edom has. Now, as we know, Abram bestowed the Midah, a character trait of Chesed, which parallels the Chesed of loving seduction by Moab, obviously the positive versus the negative side. Yitzhak has the Midah of Gevurah, or strength, which parallels, or is against, opposite, the strength exhibited by Ammon or Edom. And Yaakov is Tiferet, which is a combination of both Chesed and Gevurah, which parallels Esav, who is both warlike and a brother, but also a combination of those two, which is like a combination of Gvura and Chesed in a certain abstract sense. So I understand this was a lot to digest. In the future, I may try and distill it down or make it more lengthy. It is a little bit difficult to do in 10 minutes, but ultimately, that's your food for thought today. May we be zocha to successfully fight all of our battles that we need to fight. Hopefully, we don't have to fight many battles, but whatever battles we fight, may we be successful at all of our battles and all of our realms of life. And then we all have the ability to experience yichud with Hashem, attain bracha, and achieve kedusha to ultimately see the day where we may merit to enter the days of Mashiach as a testament to the legacy of everything that we and our ancestors have done. Shabbat shalom, and also a big, big yasher koach to my good friend Isaac Kalki, who helps with many of these things, who helped fill in a small but very significant piece of this Dvar. Again, Shabbat shalom.